Episode 12, let's do it. Paper Mate, what's going on?
It's going okay. It's yeah. going okay. Can't complain, I guess.
Not loving the energy, buddy. Not loving it.
Well, I guess I can't complain. Let me start with my complaints.
What's going on? What's the complaint?
So, I'd start by saying that I kind of wish I had any other company to give my money to other than New Jersey Transit to get to work every day. I really am.
New Jersey Transit.
New Jersey Transit does not care about me.
Why do you fuck with them?
I don't. They don't care about me. They just want my money, okay? You know I've been kicked off a moving train before?
Are you serious?
A moving New Jersey Transit train. I've been kicked off.
Sounds like some action movie shit. What did you do?
I thought about it after the fact. I'm just like, I can't believe this really just happened. So I normally get my New Jersey Transit tickets on my phone.
Okay, on your phone.
Yes, but on this particular day, I woke up with too little time and I rushed out and I didn't realize that I didn't have my phone on me.
Okay.
Until I actually got on the train. And I didn't buy my ticket, obviously, because I usually buy it when I get on the train.
Okay.
And so, like, when they came around and asked me for my ticket, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I left my phone at home. Do you mind if I just, like, get my ticket at Newark Penn Station? And then they were like, okay, yes, you can do that.
And Newark Penn Station is, like, the next stop or
something? Yeah, it was the next stop.
Okay.
And then when I got off at Newark Penn Station, there was, like, a huge line at the ticket booth.
Wait, another question. Do you need a phone to get on the train or you use an app to buy
it? I buy it on an app. Oh, so okay. New Jersey Transit has an app that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't because there's, like, no Wi-Fi in any of the tunnels here.
Okay.
So, or...
Oh, and you didn't have your phone, so you couldn't buy your ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
You bought a ticket to show that you belong on the train. Okay.
You got it now.
You're all caught up.
Okay.
Next episode.
Press play. So, I get off the train at Newark, and I'm trying to get my ticket, but there's this really long line at the, like, kiosk to buy your ticket.
Okay. Oh, so they said, okay, we'll let you buy it at the
next stop. We'll let you buy it at the next stop.
Okay, all right. So it looks like this is good.
So I thought, okay, you're being reasonable. I like this. Okay. So then I get there and I'm trying to buy my ticket, but I can't before the train is about to leave. You hear it, like, it has this beep before the train goes. It goes like, beep, beep, beep. That means we're rolling the fuck out. Whoever gets left, gets left. Okay. And I was like, oh no, that can't be me. Because right. I'll be late if my train leaves me, right? So I hop back on the train. Like, without buying the ticket. Because there are too many people there. There's no way I'm going to get it in time.
Okay.
And then I tell the lady, I tell the conductor.
Wait, so you hopped on the train while it was moving?
Or? No, I hopped on the train. It was like a regular stop. That was a regular regular stop. I hopped back on the train.
Impossible. Yeah, yeah.
And then it starts, the doors close and it starts to roll off, right? It's rolling. And I tell the lady I wasn't able to get the ticket because there was too long of a line and you guys were pulling off. And then she was like, sorry. Like, she shook her head like, you're telling me things I don't need to know.
Same lady
that allowed me to get off to get my ticket is the same lady who pressed the button and made the door open as the train was pulling off.
It sounded like two different people. How she changed up so
quick. Flip of a switch. Like, I was just like, damn. It's like, you don't know my ass no more. You just don't even know who I am.
Out like Jazz and the Fresh Prince, you know?
And so she opened up the door and told me to get off the train.
And the train is moving.
The train is moving.
That's crazy.
Slowly, but it's moving.
No, it's moving.
It's pulling out of the station.
Right.
And I was just like, damn, like, I really got to get off of this train right now? I thought she was going to be okay. You know, like, that was the first time that ever happened to me in my life. And I got off the train and I could not believe what just happened.
Because
I didn't even know they really did that.
So you did get off the train while it was moving?
I got off the train while it was moving.
Oh my gosh. I would have, like, did the illest fall, twist my ankle. I would have grabbed my leg. Oh,
I did it. I did it. I got off the train. I just, like, forget this.
I would have gotten my
bag. There was another train right afterwards, so I was okay. But I just was just... I didn't realize that it was going to be that quick afterwards.
Yeah, I would have put on a show.
You know what I mean? So I was like really upset for a very long time. And honestly, the amount of shit I put up with New Jersey Transit, you can let me take a ride for one day. You could do that. You know what I mean? If somebody leaves their phone, you shouldn't be all extra like that, because we put up with a lot of stuff from them.
Yeah, I think 725 is way more than they get away with. All right, so let's talk about fucking New Jersey Transit and public transportation and how this is just
I can not do going that. Okay. We can do that.
Black Hypothesis.
Hey everybody, this is D Langston Jules.
And Paper Maid.
Sorry guys, I'm eating food. I'm starving, but still gonna do this thing.
We're gonna do this.
Alright. Today's topic is
And we're having a little sip.
A little bit more than a sip. I think that'll be evident as this episode keeps going.
We'll see. But go ahead. What are we talking about today?
So today's topic is public transportation, given that horrible experience you just had.
Yes.
And I'm surprised a lawsuit didn't follow that. But
I am just as surprised, honestly speaking. It's like New Jersey Transit has us all brainwashed into thinking we just should take our shit. Take the shit from them, because that's just all we're gonna get.
Hey man, I'm from New York, and the MTA has dealt me a lot of bullshit throughout the days. Especially taking the bus. They're very vindictive people.
The bus is worse.
Hmm. They love to wait. Like, if you're not at the bus stop when
they love
to
wait
to the last second to close the door and
I
then
see
pull
people
up.
Cursing
wait,
out the bus driver all the time.
They will wait 45 seconds for you to run two blocks for them to just close the door.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so interesting, because it was like literally 3 days ago or 4 days ago that I saw this old man just cussing the shit out of a bus driver because he pulled off when he got to the stop.
One time, I saw that same shift happen to somebody else, and then the kid, he decided to run to the next bus stop.
Oh,
and he was booking it. Yeah, he was booking it. He was running. And it was late at night too, so the next bus isn't coming.
He's
for
just like
a while.
I am going.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there. I'm rooting for this.
And
kid.
You can do that in the city too, because there are just so many cars. You could get to the next bus stop.
Right,
at
the next bus is like maybe 2-3 blocks away. Yeah. So he's running like nonstop. He didn't slow down or anything. And I'm like watching him, when I'm rooting for him, and he's gonna make it. I'm like, oh shit, he's about to make it. No one pulled a stop requested button. So the kid made it to the stop, and he held his hands up, and the bus kept going. I was like, no!
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, his hustle was not rewarded at all. I felt really bad for that.
See, it's a little
different. There's a hard life lesson in that one.
It's a little different in Jersey, the way that we do.
Nah,
because
that bus driver knew what was going on, so he could have gave it to him.
He could have, but he was being disrespectful. And that's what I feel like public transportation is currently. The culture of public transportation is to disrespect its customers constantly. Because in New Jersey, when you take NJ Transit for the train and for the buses, you're gonna be flagging down your buses. I remember when I started
flagging them down.
You know, like how New Yorkers flag down a cab.
Oh, you can stop a bus anywhere.
What? Yeah, no, not anywhere, at the bus stop. But you have to
flag them down at the bus stop.
You flag them down at the bus stop because they will pass your ass. And you're not running to the bus stop. You're standing there. They can see you, and sometimes they just fucking pass you. You have to flag down a bus, and you're lucky if they come on time.
Oh shit!
Because I've been at a bus stop and I've seen that the bus is supposed to come in 9 minutes, and then the 9 minutes passes, and it's just like I'm coming in 11 minutes. And then the 11 minutes passes, and it says it's coming in 9 minutes again. You're just like, if this
is gonna
bus
be a whole
doesn't
episode.
Show
this,
up.
This fuckery. So
right
fuckery,
So when I started working in Manhattan, like, I was flagging down buses, and my coworker was just like,
the
what
fuck
are you
doing?
Doing
where the fuck are you coming from? You have to do that. Like.
I was just like, I'm stopping the bus. And then she's just like, it's gonna stop.
It's a bus stop. That's what it's called. That's what this poll is here for.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like, from state to state, things are so different.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Yes, it is. It is insane. There's that. So let's talk about public transportation and the state of public transportation right now.
Can I tell you a fun fact?
Please.
Okay. I looked at the website for the American Society of Civil Engineers, and they mm-hmm. have report cards for a whole bunch of things.
Oh, okay.
Guess what was the grade for the transit system as a whole in America?
D.
D minus. You didn't even, I didn't even know that was a fucking grade. I didn't even know you could get a D minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I thought below that you just get an F. You just
Have talent.
I don't
talent.
Know how they didn't get an F, huh?
We have talent as Americans for failure.
Apparently, and we're very we're very sufficient. It's like, oh shit, how
we create grades.
So then they talked about like what their criteria is, and they started talking about other things that you just see as a whole. One thing that gives them this D minus, which honestly it should be an F at this point. There is across the board $90 billion backlog in maintenance across buses, trains, trolleys, the paratransits.
All that was that one stuff. Of the criticisms I had. Like, why is everything so outdated? Why is everything so old and decrepit? I took a train the other day and there was this incessant screeching noise the entire time, like the entire ride to Manhattan.
Shit, like.
And I'm just like, this is terrible. Like, I can't even sleep. And I'm supposed to be sleeping on this train.
Right, and the transit system's like condition in terms of like how it runs and everything, it's related to like the ridership and the financial strength.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So they were saying that because a lot of transit systems are like everywhere kind of suck, and now there's mm-hmm. like there's other alternatives like ride sharing or biking in some places if they have that infrastructure for it, or cars. The fare revenue is going down, so now if the fare revenue
is going
down,
I feel like that's unfair because they even before these ride shares they could have updated everything. So now what? They just missed their opportunity? Is that what they're saying?
No, I think the whole thing's fucked up from the beginning.
It was always messed up
because. It's always about who's gonna pay for it, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about an upgrade. An upgrade is something that means you need to like get rid of the old thing and put something new in it.
And for something like this, you're talking about infrastructure and a whole system that's right. just interlinked.
And a lot, if not all, public transport public—that's what it was. So that means like the people have to pay. The tax dollars are paying for it. You know what I mean? And fare revenues are usually not enough to cover what the expenses are, let alone but get new shit. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like. Washington, D.C., New York, San Francisco, like, they're all kind of under, we're all, like, sinking, honestly.
Yes.
Who's doing the worst? I think Detroit.
Gosh,
if you try to look at the revenue over the amount of expenses for the year, they're only making, the revenue's only covering 20% of everything. Just the expenses. And since these are public, you know, entities or whatever, they're always subsidized by like state government or federal. So they rely on the federal government, the state and local government to cover the other 80% of just the expenses, right? So then where's the money to do all these upgrades and things like that?
It's weird because like I feel like public transportation is something that's definitely going to be increasing as it has been for the past several years, but it's just a matter of the lack of quality, the lack of efficiency. You know, they don't have enough upgrades. Everything is old, broken down, lagging, canceled, delayed, derailing. Like everything has those words in front of it. And because of that, you're going to have more people choosing rideshare options, choosing, you know, Uber, Lyft, and all those, because it's just too annoying, too inconvenient, too expensive, and other things for you to take something like New Jersey Transit or MTA or Long Island Railroad.
I take Lyft and Uber every day to work. I refused.
I say Lyft and Uber gets like so much of my paycheck. Like, I feel like...
They really do.
I feel like I should get some of that back.
I feel like you can write it off on our thing.
On your taxes? That's what I'm thinking. So. Like, I should be able to write this shit off on my taxes.
I'm gonna look into
because
that,
this is generally, I feel like...
I feel like you should be able to write it off.
If you can write off public transportation.
We are not tax experts at all.
No, we're not tax experts, but I feel like if I can write off my NJ Transit tickets, then I should be able to write off Uber and Lyft. Yeah, we should look into that. That makes a lot of sense to do because they got too much of my paycheck. So, as far as commuters, New York City saw a 39% use of the subway and 29% drive alone, right?
Wait, so what does that mean?
39%? That means like 39% of the population in New York City use the subway as their primary mode of transportation. And
so what's 39% of 8 million? A lot.
That's a freaking lot. And 11% of them take the bus, and 9% of them walk to work. So if you're, and 7% take commuter rail, and only 4% carpool right now, and 1.6% use taxis, which is much lower than I feel like it was in the past.
Really? Oh. I feel like that's only like Sex and the City type of people. But go ahead.
Yeah? Taxis? Yeah. I've taken a taxi a couple of times.
Oh, shit. Miranda.
But I've only taken the cab, like, when I first started working in Manhattan.
I don't want to be profiled. That's why I don't like rejections. So I don't even want to, like, try to hail a cab, honestly. That's the issue I have.
I got really good at hailing cabs, actually. And yeah, I'm really good at it. But here's the problem. New York City is a city meant for public transportation. That's the thing. It's just like, it's beautifully... If it would just be upgraded, if it would just be, you know, made to kind of suit current times, it would be amazing, you know? But...
And the reason,
driving in New York City doesn't make much sense to me.
And the reason why is because New York City is such an old city. It was around before cars were even invented. So they didn't build it for
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Look
they
at
built
that.
It. It's condensed. And they built it for, like, the roads and everything for mass transit. So that's how they would make it designed for people to get
around. It makes sense.
Yeah, so if you go, like, south and west, like Orlando... or Dallas or other places where that are like kind of newer.
Then you're driving a lot.
Yeah, and it's built around
and,
the car
and California,
culture,
I hear California is like that because California was developed long after the East Coast was.
Right, right. And plus, if you mix that with like the car culture where there's a fucking Nissan or whatever commercial every 5 minutes on the screen, that's like permeated into our brains that the idea of freedom and independence and being able to go wherever you want. And luxury and keeping up with the Joneses, buy a car, buy a car, buy a car. So it's like this whole car culture thing that's just, you know, inescapable here. And those cities just aren't built for that. So that's why it doesn't make sense. Or the transit system
it doesn't make sense. When I started in Manhattan, I got the idea that if you wanted to take public transportation, then maybe, and you wanted it to be kind of like, just an enjoyable ride because I'm telling you, even though public transportation like the subway is what makes sense, it is not all the time enjoyable because of all the upgrades that we said are necessary.
And the people.
And honestly, the people. There's
real.
So many people. It's so hot. It's so fucking hot.
This is about STEM, not social ills.
But yeah, and so I took a cab, and you're going 2 miles, right? 2 miles in a car in New York City will take you forever to get through. It was like,
oh yeah, that's
40 minutes.
And
I couldn't, because it was rush hour too. So there was something that I had to learn in that experience, which was, honestly speaking, the more populated an area gets, the more it's makes sense to invest in public transportation, and the more it makes sense for those people living or working in the area to utilize public transportation.
Do you know who got it down? You know who maybe like we should take over, just go over there and take a look as a trip and just see how they're doing it over there?
Who got it down?
Hong Kong. Okay.
Mm.
Watch the video. 5.9 million riders a day. I think that's more than what New York City gets.
That is impressive. That's what I'm looking for.
And I don't know if this is
that's
true.
That's what I'm looking for.
But out of the 5.9 million riders on any given day, 5.894 of those million of those riders will arrive on time.
99%. That's even better. That is even, you see, okay. That's what we need. We need rates.
99 fucking percent. Okay? If you've been at 1%, you did something wrong. That's how I feel. You
listen.
That's on you, honestly.
Yo, I need to rate New Jersey Transit like I do my Uber and Lyft drivers, okay?
It's gonna be the fucking
I tell New Jersey Transit, if I could get you 0 stars, if I could give you 0 stars, I would, New Jersey Transit.
But here's why, like, well, I don't know here's why, but here's, like, something that the video that I watched on YouTube kind of explained, right? The car culture thing that I explained before. They don't have that there. I've never been to Hong Kong, but apparently it's not like, it's a very, it's a small area. And in, let's say it's like 20 square miles. Of those 20 square miles, maybe 5 of it is inhabited with like actual civilization in terms of like buildings and infrastructure and schools and things like that. And the government owns the whole thing. So I'm not going to go into like how they deal with the land and everything, but it's very condensed. So there's all those millions of people are just in one spot. So they need that, like, they have to use it. There's no car, there's no nothing. You just use the public transportation system. And it's so profitable, going back to like how I said, like other public transportations don't make money. And Detroit making only 20%. If you look at their revenue over expenses metric, it's 185%. They're making 85% over after their expenses are done. They actually subsidize the government. They actually they actually give the government money after everything is said and done. Like, that's how successful they are.
It's
and
successful because it's efficient.
It's efficient. Because all they have this extra money, they can keep them, they can keep their cars clean. They can have run more buses. They can institute all this other, like, technology and shit like that to like make it more efficient. They can make those capital investments that you're talking about. You know what I mean? But we don't have that, so we just have to deal with old trains.
To keep
trains
things updated, to squeaking. Keep people.
And if the lights are
happy.
Flickering a little bit, I mean, fuck it. Hopefully, I just get there alive. You know?
Like, what is that? What is that? I'm just grateful if my train doesn't derail. And, is
and
that
now,
a thing?
And now I feel like you gotta flag them down so they can save on, like, you know, the brakes.
Oh my
you know what
God.
I mean? Maybe they don't wanna, like, you know, anytime they stop, they take a little
stories.
Bit more life off of the brakes, so they just wanna, like, keep the maintenance. Like, they, unless they work for it, we're not trying to put any more stress on these brakes.
I've been in a car before going home from the city, and all of a sudden, like, you know, because I'm like I said, I try to get my sleep in when I'm on the train. So if my eyes are closed, I'm not paying much attention. But then I start to smell something, and I'm like, what is that?
Piss.
Smoke?
Oh,
no.
<sorry. laughs> Very easily could have been that, but what was it?
Easily.
What was it?
It was smoke.
Oh,
the
like
train
cars.
Smoke? No, it smelled like something
smoke.
Was fire. It
oh,
was,
shit.
Smelled like something was on fire. And then my cabin just started filling up with smoke, and everybody was getting like so terrified. Like, I even got up to to see where the smoke was coming from. And people were just like thinking, should we go to the like emergency exit? Should we pull the switch on the train so that the train stops? What do we do?
Yeah, you have the craziest fucking story.
It was crazy. Like, I was really scared. And then, because I thought something was going to explode, obviously. And then the conductor comes on the intercom and tells us that, we're so sorry, guys. Like, we're just trying to figure this out. It seems that one of our brakes were still on as we were going through the tunnel.
The brake theory is holding up. The brake theory is holding up.
They had the brakes on, the emergency brakes on, so as the train was going, it was just like creating all this smoke from the wheel section.
I'd have been whatever,
car.
Yo. I would start grabbing my neck.
I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is just a joke. This
nah,
is a joke.
Bro, I'm grabbing my neck.
Even a lady, I've seen a lady get
this money. Oh,
hit in the
brakes?
Face with one of the doors. Like,
oh,
the
shit.
Doors just kind of like. Like, closed suddenly on her.
Yeah, those doors.
And it hurt her.
The doors you did. Sorry, you're talking about the MTA, right?
No, this is New Jersey Transit again.
Never mind. Because I was going to say the MTA, those doors used to be very sensitive. Like, they would always open, like, immediately.
Yeah.
If you never touched someone.
And now they're,
now
you got to
like,
fight it.
You have to, like, get one leg in and throw your body in that shit. It'll still kind of close. Like,
yeah.
You got to work for it, too. I guess.
No,
like,
the door was
the
open.
Subway version of
it was
stop,
open.
So.
And as she was exiting the tram, it just, like, kind of closed on her and her on her face. And then, like, the the conductor, like, fought it off of her. Like, it was a lie or something. She had to take, she took the name, the cart number down, the train number down, and all that. But I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the kind of mess I'm talking about. You need to do something about this so that you're not being hit with, like, all these lawsuits and stuff. That's what I would think. I would be fearful for that. Just as a company, but do what you will when you're a monopoly and all that. Do what you will, you know.
I see it this way. Back to the money thing, okay? Public transportation is unequivocally a public good.
It is.
Right. And remember, I remember from our interview with you a few episodes back, there's no money in public goods.
No one gives a fuck about that. Nobody gives, no, nobody cares about it. You're right.
For all the big boys, their closet, their cabinet of fucks is barren when it comes to doing something for the public good. All right, the majority of riders are usually young or poor
because they don't want to share their stuff.
They don't because these systems are subsidized by government agencies. There's just no incentive to try to make any of these capital investments that we talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucked up.
It is. It is messed up because that means...
You gotta jump in front of the bus to make it stop.
That means I think that we should be kind of like focusing on how to possibly make public transportation a little bit more...
Profitable?
Profitable, especially for the individual. Like, you know what I mean? Okay. Make it in a way that kind of simulates the benefits we get from things like these rideshare companies and integrate those benefits into this public good idea.
Okay.
You know, this ideology of being able to get the masses to where they need to go so that we have fewer individuals on, you know, their own.
Okay, well, this isn't new, but New York has been talking about doing something like this. Have you heard of congestion pricing? And it's not a new thing.
No.
Okay. So congestion pricing is essentially you're charging cars for using the road, right?
Okay.
And you can use this revenue to do a bunch of things. So in London, London's a very congested area in terms of like cars and space and other people like walking in the streets. So when they, in 2003, when they introduced congestion pricing, they did it in a zone that's like a very heavily trafficked area in terms of foot traffic and people. And once they, and they would like set up a zone and then they'll have these cameras up. So if you enter that zone and during like peak commuter time, so like maybe from 6 to 10 a.m. or something like that, they'll take a picture of a license plate, send you a bill in the mail. You got to pay for being in that area at that time. And when that happens, eventually the traffic kind of like went down by 20%.
Because
like
those people are going to try to avoid area. They don't have the money to just be paying fees and tolls like that.
Right. And the revenue they came... I don't know what they did with the revenue that they used with that. But if we did that in New York City, which they're trying to do, they could raise like billions of dollars doing it. And then they could use that money to make these capital investments in the infrastructure for the MTA or things like that. So that's in the works right now. They were trying to do it since 2019, but...
I can see that being somewhat successful because I think that one of the things that we have to consider as well is that not only is it public transportation that gives us headaches nowadays, it's really just commuting privately as well, or commuting in your own personal vehicle is also frustrating sometimes because at this point, so many people are taking jobs far from where they live, you know, because most of us take jobs in a particular city or a particular town that either we can't afford to live in or it's just kind of like not ideal for us to live in that city or town at the moment that we are in or in at that stage of our lives.
Right. If you have a family or...
Yeah. You know, I know plenty of people who, you know, work in Manhattan but decide they don't want to live there because they're raising a family. Or I know plenty of people who may like work in a more suburban area but they're a young adult and they want to live in like a city, you know, so it's just like you don't, there are so many different areas that we live and work, and many of us are commuting for long times and distances. So driving sometimes can be a hassle, just driving in traffic. I feel like, honestly, traffic, when you're the driver, is even worse sometimes than your train being delayed or canceled. Sometimes.
Because
like when my train is delayed after a long day of work, like it's annoying as hell. I'm standing there waiting in the heat, especially in New York, Penn Station, where they're just like clobs of people trying to put ram through you. It can be frustrating.
You should take the D train around like the 59th Street stop. I think that's what it is.
The 59th Street stop?
The 59th Street stop on the D
train. To Penn Station?
No. You just be there in the summer. That's like, that's the depths of hell. I think it has to be like a good...
Like, I hate the subway in the summer. Like, it's just...
There is no oxygen.
I don't understand. People fainted constantly last summer. But anyway, as I was saying, driving in your own vehicle can be just as awful nowadays, because being stuck in traffic, especially like when you are the commanding person in that car, you're the person that is responsible for the car, those in the car, and preventing accidents while driving, can be, you know, a lot of pressure, I feel, in today's day and age, because there are too many people who don't know what they're doing on the road. And the traffic, the timing of traffic tends to be really long nowadays. I've heard so many stories of just obscenely and crazy long traffic jams, like the one that occurred in Beijing, China.
What happened in China?
Well, you already talked about Hong Kong, right? Yeah, Hong Kong. A positive instance of
Hong Kong is in China, so we may not still... I don't know. Depending on what you say, I'm
like,
not
wanting to... I mean...
I'm not trying to make Hong Kong look bad, because
No. I said that's... Now. That's a positive example, I said, of like what public transportation can do in the same kind of like complex population reality that China has, is what I'm saying.
Just the contrary.
Exactly. So you're talking about China. We have both instances where you're talking about a positive public transportation instance, and I'm gonna bring to you a negative instance in which where I'm speaking about like people driving in their private vehicles. So in Beijing, there was a highway traffic jam. It's actually infamously known as the China National Highway 110 traffic jam. Mm. And so it was.
I thought you were gonna say something.
No, like, the China National Highway 110 traffic jam.
Some shit like
I'm assuming 110 stands for the number of the highway.
Okay.
But it was a recurring jam that occurred in like 2010, and it lasted for like 12 days, about 2 weeks long. And some people, it was about 62 miles long, and some drivers reported being stuck for like 4 days or 5 days in the traffic jam.
That's what I don't understand. How are you in the car for 5 days? That doesn't make any sense to me.
To me, I really assume that some people like may have exited their cars or abandoned their cars
and came back
because the traffic jam was so long. Because I would have done that shit, which would have obviously extended the traffic jam and made it worse, which could be a part of why, you know, the traffic jam lasted for 12 days. But
or maybe the people that got stuck was like, shit, let me order Uber Eats. And then the Uber Eats people came and they got stuck.
And then
the Uber Eats people had like, shit, I got a call for help. And then it just kind of like.
Yeah, and then everybody was just like, oh my gosh, I ran out of gas. And then like AAA came and then they got stuck. So yeah, I can get that. It could be a number of reasons.
I hate people sometimes.
That made the traffic jam even more and more complex. But stories like that, you know, are not common, but the fact that they exist at all is just kind of disappointing.
I would be ashamed to be from there. Because you said that was Beijing?
Yeah, that was Beijing.
Beijing?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, we're coming... You're saying that you would be ashamed to come from there, but... I'm ashamed to come from, you know, New Jersey, canceling 60 trains in 1 week. Like, you know what I mean? Just kind of making life miserable for all the commuters.
What was the purpose? What was the reason?
Well, they come out with the same excuses each time.
Signal problems.
It's not just signal problems. They'll be like, oh, we don't have like engineers available right now.
Oh, like drivers.
Equipment availability. Yeah, sometimes.
They're not drivers, but they're called engineers.
The train. Operators. The train operators, I guess. They'll say things like that. Or like the availability of like trains to take people from where they are to where they need to go.
That's not a good excuse.
I don't think it is either. Like, just because your train broke down, do something about it. Do something about it. Another one is like sometimes trains break down.
Shutdown? Huh? Was it during that government shutdown? That was like 2 months.
This happens constantly. It's not just a government shutdown that makes it happen. It's literally like every week there's something that happens.
Yep, go ahead.
Sometimes there's a train that'll break down in a tunnel or something, and
they cancel 60 trains.
yeah, because they'll be like, oh, yeah, there's,
there's
a train broken down on this particular track that we use, you know. Sometimes your delay is because, especially for like New Jersey Transit, they use the MTA train line to get into Manhattan. So,
okay.
The PATH train line, I mean. The PATH train line.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, New Jersey Transit needs to do better.
Yeah.
But you know who is trying to do better? This is just like technological things that they're at least trying to do. MTA, I still hate them very much. That's actually why I moved to New Jersey, part of the reason.
Really?
Yeah, my commute used to be really long, and now it's...
For no reason. Now it's just as long.
No, now it's
now
like,
shorter.
I take Uber. So I'm never going back. But part of the reason was there would be like an issue, right? And it was always a signal issue. It came to the point where I didn't believe they even knew what the fuck was the issue. They just started saying signal issue because, you know, that's just something that like a blanket or a default type of thing to blame it on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching this video and I learned a little bit about this system, and I kind of see why it probably would be the signal system. It was built in 1904, the MTA.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a conglomeration, but it was like three separate like rail systems from three like private companies that tried to like give that service to the city. And eventually they just, the state bought them and they put them together. But the technology in there is like from the 1930s. Like I watched a video, I don't know if you've ever been in a train station, but at some of them they're called like supervisory towers.
Mm.
It's like these little offices, and that's where they actually like transmit the signals for the trains to stop and to go and to control the traffic. So it's
the
like
controllers.
It looks like, right. So when you walk in there, and I watched the video, they have this this really old looking interlocking machine and an indication panel. So I don't know if I can explain it. Do you remember like if you ever look into those black and white videos?
Movies.
Well, the black and white videos of them showing how what happens when you're making a phone call.
Yeah.
And in between, there's a person, there's some lady like sticking. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they have like that type of board in there.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Today.
Today.
Wow.
So, and have like little lights to show like where the trains are, and there's still like a guy on a phone, and he's writing down on this piece of paper like where the trains are. And that's how they track the movement of the trains, and they're telling this lady to like pull a lever. And when you pull the lever, it's to like
the rail
switch.
Oh my god!
Or pull the lever to like.
That's. But I imagine that in my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the picture that I have in my head is from an old movie. So the fact that we still have that
it's
is just kind
white.
Of ridiculous.
I mean,
yeah, a black
in color,
and white
I mean,
movie.
Because that's how it looks.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah. So the way that the system works, like they'll tell the person to switch the track or whatever. She'll pull the lever. And the signal will go to this old relay room. Do you know what a relay is, by the way?
I know what a relay is because I ran track.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's the same thing, but it's a machine. So
okay,
the machines
great.
It'll pretty much relays the signal from one thing to another.
Yes.
Right. So the relay will reorient the circuits inside of it. So it'll close maybe one circuit to make sure that signal continues down into the track.
Yeah.
So that equipment will know to either switch tracks or not switch tracks.
Okay.
Or it'll know to if you ever look in the front, you'll see red, white, and green. Red, yellow, and green for the signal for the train to stop or slow
stop, down. Stop, go, slow down. Yeah. And it's the same as like driving traffic.
Yeah,
stop,
pretty much.
Red, slow down, yellow, go green.
I hope it's the same reason. That's what I would think. And they have these lights every like 1,000 feet down.
They have that in the subway. The lights.
Yeah. So they have
lights
these
in the subway.
Yeah. So they have those lights every like 1,000 feet down the train. So they need to manually track where the train is. Manually track where the train behind that train is. Manually track where the train in front
ahead
of that
of
train
it is.
Yeah. So they need to make sure that if the train in front of them has a red signal and the train behind him is like within 2 like standard deviations of the one behind them, you need to give them the yellow signal or the red signal to slow down because you got too close to the other train. And they're doing this manually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of scary because there's a whole
lot of
margins for error. But that was a long story, but I just need to paint that picture to let y'all
Which
know.
Which is
that.
Why
they're
we're
trying to
paused
do
so much of the time in the subway. They're
they
just like, we have a whole signal.
Issues.
We gotta wait because we're being asked to wait a moment. That happens so often in the subway. So now we understand
issues.
Why that happens all the goddamn time.
But they
time.
Are trying to do better, okay? There's this new... They use it on one line.
Try as you may, do it please, is what I'm asking.
It's called communication.
Stop the trying and do the doing.
Well, they did it on one subway line. It's called communications-based train control. And it's kind of like you're having the trains talk to each other and they're sending signals.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so they're sending signals to the train behind you and the train in front of you. So they can see how far it is, what's the speed of it, what's the position of
Ooh,
the train.
Is this
well.
One of those?
So they can like automatically, hopefully that's where they're going with this, they can automatically stop or know when to stop or know when to go.
Yes.
And they don't need to wait for a human to say, oh, you need to go. So
yes.
So if you take out that middleman, like
it kind,
one,
of,
a lot
it kind of relates a lot back to, you know, automation like we're talking about and taking jobs away from human beings that would be more efficient for machines to do. Because I feel like if you have the trains talking to each other.
We're not taking away jobs, we're just giving them other things to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's what you're taking things away that makes more sense for a machine to do, and then you're allowing the human to do the thing that only humans can do, which is supervise that and make sure that everything is working in order. Because we have the kind of brain, I feel that, yet we don't have a way for machines to mimic. You know what I mean? So let's do the things that only human beings can do. And the stuff that's like, oh, this train's too close, this train's too far, a machine can definitely do that and not have me waiting you know, for another train to go by.
And not have paper made waiting in the...
I really don't like waiting.
In an oven of a train.
Oh my gosh. Having people pass out next to me and stuff like that, no.
Yeah, but I still feel like New York City probably is like one of the best. No, not.
It definitely
in the
is better
in the
than
they,
yeah. It's
they
in,
have
in
the
United
country.
States of America.
In terms
York,
of like the in terms of like the volume and the amount of load that they have as a system.
Yeah.
And the fact that it runs 24/7, it's impressive that what the type of technology
I would
they
say
have
so, but you know what
works today.
This is what I understand to be what we should be kind of like looking forward to in the future. This is what I want to see for public transportation within my lifetime, okay?
Okay.
I want to see that when I go to the train station to hop on New Jersey Transit, yes, New Jersey Transit, this is me believing in you and saying you can be better than what you currently are.
Do this.
When I go to New Jersey Transit, the station, I'm going to get onto an individual cart. And there can be 3 people, 4 people in the car that are going to the same place. Or it can be me by myself. And it's going to be on the track. And I can go on and like just purchase my ticket while I'm in there and say where I'm going. And this like car can stop and pick up people on the way if they're going around the same time that I am. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then take me all the way to New York. and it'll be talking to the other trams, just like you said. It'll be talking to the other cars that are on the track too. But it's just a smaller car, so I don't have to wait for a whole bunch of people. I don't have to like
deal with... Oh, and the car can move independently from...
Other cars. It's not connected another car.
I missed that somehow. Yeah,
exactly. So it's on the track, but it's like the same size as like, say, a minivan. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm getting on it, and it has a straight path. Because one of the things that I like about the train tracks is that they're virtually just faster to go on than a car. But it's the fact that you have to kind of like deal with how slow it can be, how many stops there are, like it can be, and how many pauses there are during the ineffective and inefficient stuff that we've all mentioned during the course of this episode. That stuff makes it annoying. It makes it longer. It makes it tedious. It makes it something that you don't want to experience. But if I was to be in a car and go from my train station to New York, like without having to worry about a whole bunch of people, or even if I got on with like three other people in my car, that would be nothing. It would be the same as like a rideshare. You know what I mean? Won't have to go through tolls, won't have to stop at red lights or anything like that. And the best part about it is I'm not driving. That's awesome. None of us are. That's awesome. You know what I mean? So I see that for public transportation as far as trains go. And then, you know, they can link up to save energy if we're going to the same place eventually or not. That's fine. You know what I mean? Can you see this in your head?
I see what you're saying.
As I explain it, you can see it, right? And you can get your ticket on the phone so it knows when people want to, like, get a ride or not. Or you can, if you're the first person, if it's an empty car, then you can get on and then get your ticket when you get in the car.
And I don't know if you said this or not. Can this car kind of go, can it have a dynamic route? As in, it can always go somewhere different based on the needs of the people in the car?
In the car, yes.
That would be cool. I think
it can. So like it can switch over, because the thing is, like, if you're on this in this car, then the track can switch immediately and switch back if it needs to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll just the signals will tell where they need to go, and it'll just be like automatic. You know what I mean? So I really like that idea, because you'd be able to get where you need to go so fast. It'd be like individual bullet trains, but a little bit less fast than bullet trains, but it would be still very efficient. And that just brings me to this understanding of where we're going with like these self-driving cars, because that's something that all of us have been hearing about, all of us see happening. We see their success. They're coming up, they're on the up and up. There have been a couple of accidents.
Did you get in one? A self-driving car?
I have not. Yeah, I would. I would definitely get in a self-driving car. In the right environment, yes, because it can't be in a place like New York.
Well, yeah, I guess 20 years ago, people wouldn't get in a car with a stranger, so I can see that happening.
But I get in cars with strangers all the time now.
Right,
you know
what
I mean? So soon enough, it'll be very normal. I feel like one of the things that is going to make the technological developments of public transportation kind of like ideal for investments and for people to contribute towards, for it not to be so abandoned as a public good, would be to make it efficient, make it fast, make it something that everybody wants to get on. Everybody wants to take, because why? If you're on a bus, you're not going to be stuck in traffic like that. Why? Because you can move over traffic. If you're on the train, you don't have to take as long to get where you're going. Why? Because you can literally get there in how many minutes? And I think that's what the future of public transportation needs to be for the United States, just as it was for Japan, just as it was for the cities that you mentioned in China. It needs to be something that's fast and effective and makes money.
Yeah, we need to get back on top, because it used to be the best in the world in terms of like public transportation. And now it's just, it's a D minus. I mean, you need to get our
And autonomous vehicles are taking a while.
I could not come up with a D minus.
They're taking a while.
That's true. But I did hear in Dubai, and I feel like this is...
Elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, no. This is along the autonomous thing.
No, but elsewhere like in the world, not here in the U.S.
Not here.
Elsewhere, there's but progress. I feel
like Dubai is like this magical shit going on over there, so I don't even think that's like a fair comparison. But they do have, or they're at least thinking of trying these things called drone taxis, which is pretty much the same thing that you talk about over a self-driving car, but it's like an unmanned drone. So it's going to have like the quad rotors on four sides. And it's gonna land, and there's gonna be no one in it. It's just gonna be a seat when you open the door. So you get in, close the door, and put your location in like the tablet or whatever module that's in front of you. And it's just gonna take off and fly you to your destination. And that's gonna be it. And I wouldn't do that either, but.
You wouldn't do that?
I live in some crazy life.
Not ever?
An unmanned drone? Hell no. I wouldn't do that. Nah, bro. Because what if something goes wrong? Is this you in the car? I'm in the drone. It's
These technologies are impressive to me. And there's something that are probably going to be happening in the future. Hopefully within our lifetimes. And hopefully if we can really kind of put the pressure on our legal systems to do something about the current state of our public transportation system. Because yes, we can have all the scientists in the world who will develop the technologies that allow us to do these things. But just as self-driving cars, the delay in that becoming a reality for mass transit is really a legal issue rather than just an issue of us being able to create this kind of car.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's legal, it's political.
You're gonna have to create kind of like an understanding of what's going to happen with these cars. How do we manage accidents with these cars? How do we ensure them? You know, these kind of cars.
What are the standards?
Exactly. And there's just a lot. These ideas, these creations, implementing this into our way of life is just something that becomes a lot more complex than just creating the technology. So we do need to really get STEM up there to be able to create some of these things. But the things that we're talking about are more than possible at this point.
So thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked it, give us 5 stars and please subscribe. If you didn't like it, subscribe anyway and give us 5 stars anyway. That would be great. If you have any ideas for any other episodes, you can hit us up on Black Hypothesis on IG.com. If you have any questions, also hit us up on blackhypothesis@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, you guys. Just be patient with the public transportation system, guys.
Don't be patient with the public transportation system. Push them to do better.